Well, this morning, as we continue our series through the attributes of God, we're looking this morning at God's omniscience, or the fact that He is all-knowing. We'll be looking at various texts this morning, and as we begin, I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. And looking specifically in our text or our sermon in verses 8 to 10, but I'll read this chapter in its entirety as we begin this morning. So hear now God's word, Isaiah chapter 46. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop. They bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnants of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. To gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry and will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things yet not done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion, for Israel my glory. May the Lord bless the reading and now the preaching and hearing of His word. As we stop and we consider what it means for God to be omniscient, the fact that He is all-knowing, I think it's something we would all agree with. But how often do we stop and we really think about what that means? Or think about what the fact that God is omniscient, He is all-knowing, means for my daily life? What impact does that have on me? What am I to do with that? Sure, God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. But what does that mean? Well, chiefly, as we look at this attribute of God, what I want us to come away with this morning is comfort. Comfort in knowing that God is omniscient. And that is the theme that we'll be looking at this morning, for you and I, the children of God, to take comfort in knowing that God is omniscient, that He is all-knowing. And as we consider God's omniscience, we're going to be thinking about it in two aspects. But our sermon this morning has 3 points, and the last point is going to focus on the idea of God's foreknowledge. Since we're thinking about the knowledge of God, His omniscience, we're going to look at a little bit on what the Bible means by God foreknowing something. But first of all, let us take comfort For God knows all things because he has decreed all things. In Isaiah 46 that we just read this morning, specifically in verses 8 and 10, hear these words again. God says, "Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." Then he says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." And we consider God's knowledge and the fact that he is omniscient. He is omniscient in one sense, in that he has decreed all things that have come to pass. He has decreed everything that will happen. So in this sense, he knows everything because he is the one who has laid out the plan. He's written the book. And he knows exactly what is going to happen and what is supposed to happen. His knowledge is full and complete of everything in the past, of everything that is happening now, and of everything that will happen in the future. There is not one portion of it that is a mystery to him. Every single thing is laid bare. But his omniscience even goes, in a sense, beyond this. Not only does God have a complete and full understanding of what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, but he also, his omniscience, means that he has a complete knowledge and understanding of every single possibility that could have been or that could be. So it's not simply that God's knowledge is complete in what is going to happen or what has happened. He also has a complete knowledge and understanding of everything that could have been or that is possible. His omniscience is staggering. It is complete. It is infinite. Now, when we keep this in mind, why haven't those possibilities happened? As we consider God's all-knowing of past events and the present, things that are unfolding now, why is it that those possible events didn't happen? Well, the answer to it is given to us in Isaiah chapter 46, where he says, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." And immediately before that, he says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done. God's decree is the reason why all the infinite possibilities of what could have been were not. God said, "No, it's going to be this way." He decreed, and it happened. His word has power. It will stand. It will be accomplished. When God speaks, if it's of something yet to come, it's as if it already happened. His word is so sure and so powerful that it cannot return empty. It cannot return void. And what he says and declares will happen, will happen. He has declared the end from the beginning. We even see that in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall. What does he say when he's laying out the curses? He tells the serpent that a seed of the woman would come and would crush his head, though he would bruise his heel. From the very beginning of time, declaring and telling us what would happen. In Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that prophecy, spoken first of all by the very lips of God himself, being fulfilled. But that's not where his plan began. From before the foundations of the earth, God has called his people. From the very before the foundations of the earth, God has laid out his plan. Everything that has come to pass and everything that will is all according to the decree of God that he has spoken from all of eternity. So in this way, God is all-knowing because he has declared everything decreed everything that has come to pass. How can we find comfort in this knowledge? If you think of it this way, my mom doesn't like suspenseful movies. And so if I see a movie, I always enjoyed being able to go to, knowing that I could go to my mom and I could tell her everything about it. Like I could satisfy that desire to talk to someone, to tell someone about what I had just seen. And she appreciated it because then she could go to that movie and not be all nervous about what was going to happen. Now she still felt nervous and suspense, but it gave her comfort in knowing the end, the outcome, even before she set foot in the theater. God has told us the end. He's given it here in His book. He's told us that He is victorious. He's told us how He is victorious. He's told us that He will come once again, and all evil, all sin, all wickedness will be completely and totally removed from His creation. And that He and His people will live together for all of eternity in perfection, in glory. That end has been told to us. We don't have to live in suspense. We don't have to live in anxiety about what will be, because ultimately, when the end comes, it is the glory of God and His people for all of eternity. Now, like my mom might still be anxious and nervous as she's watching the movie unfold, although I've told her all that will happen. We too, as we go through this life and we face various trials and difficulties and circumstances, we're going to be nervous. We're going to have some anxiety. But we can take comfort in knowing the end already. That regardless of what we find ourselves here in this life, that God is victorious. And we in Him are victorious. And that His enemies and our enemies will not have sway or dominion over us or Him. He has declared the end from the beginning. And as verse 10b says, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Scripture tells us elsewhere, who can stay His hand? Or who can tell Him, what have you done? Who can thwart His will? No one. It stands, and it will be accomplished. Jesus Himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will endure forever. And so, brothers and sisters, in knowing that God has ordained all things, I mean, consider the psalm we just sang, the psalm of the month in Psalm 66b. There are some great words of application from that psalm to this point this morning. I mean, as we sang that together, did you meditate on the fact that it was the Lord who laid the burdens on His people? It was the Lord who took them through fire and flood. It was the Lord who caused all that to fall upon His people. So what we go through and the difficulties that we go through, some unimaginable pain and suffering that we might go through in this life, it has been decreed by God. Not as an arbitrary thing that He decided to do, but as later we'll look at Romans 8 and the verses there, 26 through 30, all things work out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So regardless of what we go through, brothers and sisters, regardless of what trials and tribulations might be ahead, we can take comfort in knowing that God knows all things. Because He has, in fact, decreed all things. But secondly, we can also take comfort in God's omniscience. That He knows all things because He sees all things. He knows all things because He sees all things. And there are several passages we're going to be looking at on this point this morning. The first is Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 13... we read, and no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. In the heartbreak of the requests of the Zimmerman family this morning, of their friends of their family, the Christensens, losing a child in this way, not knowing where they are, God sees and knows all things. This also happened recently to a pastor of our denomination in near Beaver Falls, Micah Ramsey, his family, a cousin of his, and another young girl went missing for almost a week. And they were found in Texas, thankfully. God knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him. We also see in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and he said to me, Say thus says the Lord, so you think, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. And then likewise in Psalm 139, verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So God not only sees all things of what actually happens and transpires, but he sees all things in our very thoughts. He knows our thoughts. Every single thought that we have ever had, he knows. It's as clear as day to him. Nothing can be hidden. And that's for everyone throughout the world who has ever lived and whoever will live. All of our thoughts are before him. Now, this can be terrifying. If you really think about it, that can be terrifying. I'm sure we have all had thoughts that we are not proud of. And those thoughts are laid before God as if they are right there for all to see. He knows them. But ultimately, for the believer, we can find great comfort in this. My parents owned a van. It was a full-size van. It started making this weird noise from one of its rear wheels. And whenever we would turn right, it would make this weird noise. It's only when time would come. And so we took it to our mechanic. And he was a faithful mechanic. He was always honest and upfront with us. And he had it for day after day after day. And finally he called my parents in to come and pick up their van. And when we went to pick it up, he said to them, I want you to go out, take this thing and break it so that I can fix it. Like, I can't find out what's wrong. I don't know what's causing this. I can't fix your van. And so we were stuck with a van that made this weird noise whenever we turned right. That couldn't be fixed because the mechanic's knowledge and understanding was limited. He couldn't peer into the inner workings of the van and be able to point out exactly what needed to be repaired, what needed to be strengthened, what needed to be replaced, what needed to be fixed. The comfort we can take for the fact that everything is laid bare before God is that he knows us more clearly than we know ourselves. He knows our innermost thoughts and desires and can see them, and he knows the answer to them. He knows the remedy. He knows what is needed. He knows exactly what we need. I find great comfort too in this, in when I've been convicted of a sin that I've committed, that maybe went beyond my notice before, and the Lord convicts me in some way of what I've done. Of being able then, you can go before God, and you don't have to stumble around with words to figure out, okay, how am I going to tell God this? How am I going to help him understand what I've done? We can come into his presence, and it's like, son, I know. I know what you've done. And we can lay before him with freedom. exactly what we've done. We can't hide it from him. It's there before him. It always has been. It gives us the freedom to go to him and lay our burdens before him and say, Father, forgive me, for I have done this as you have seen. Whatever it might be, we can't hide before God. He knows exactly what we need. And not only is he all-knowing, but as we've looked at before already, he is all-powerful. If he was only omniscient but not all-powerful, that would be useless because he might not be able to meet our need. But because he is all-powerful, he not only knows our needs, but can meet it in Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, although it can be a scary thought thinking that God knows everything about me, I am laid bare before him. He knows me better than I know myself. As his people, we can take great comfort in knowing that God knows all there is to know about who we are. He will never be surprised by anything that we've done. And yet he is still there in his grace to forgive us. So if you have not bowed your knees to Christ, know that he already knows everything you've done. He already knows everything that you've committed against him. And yet his call is to you anyway. Come, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. And lay your burden at my feet. Repent and believe. So take comfort in knowing that God knows all things. All things about us. As we consider the knowledge of God, one of the things that kind of comes up is God's foreknowledge. Scripture speaks about the foreknowledge of God. How does his omniscience play into this? In Romans chapter 8, verses 36 or 26 through 30, we read these words. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of God, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. You know, one of the common viewpoints of God's foreknowledge is the idea of God, you know, looked down the corridors of time and he knew beforehand the things that would happen. And so his foreknowledge is in a sense of his ability to look down to the future, see all that would happen, and then he kind of made out his will along those lines, specifically in how he chose people. How he redeems people, how he saves people. So we see that then God's will is based upon seeing everything instead of everything being a result of the will of God and the decree of God. Now when we consider the word foreknew, as it's used specifically in the New Testament, it doesn't refer to the knowledge of actions, of what people might do. It's always used in the sense of knowing a particular person or persons. We see in Romans chapter 8 here that I just read, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Now, it wasn't that he foreknew their actions or what they would do, but for those whom he foreknew. It's the actual people that God knew beforehand. In Romans chapter 11, verse 2, We read, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Again, not referring to the actions that were to come of his people, but of his people themselves. Of his people whom he foreknew. But then also in 1 Peter verses 1 and 2 in his greeting, he said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. It's who are there referred to by the foreknowledge of God. It is those who are elect, who are spread out, who are dispersed. So we see as we consider God's foreknowledge, it is not that God is looking down the corridors of time and seeing what would happen and then making decisions based on that. The knowledge here that is spoken of is in a relationship that God has established. Consider the context of Romans 8 in those verses that we read in 26 and following. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And then in that context, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. There's a relationship there, an intimate knowledge and understanding. God has chosen his people from all of eternity. God foreknew you. We're told elsewhere that before the world was created, that we are called, we are predestined. In Ephesians chapter 1. Hear the comfort in those words. Now, from all of eternity, God didn't just look, or God didn't just foreknow a variation of you, or something that might be like you, but you and me, we were known by God. I'm one of those people that if I'm in a crowd, even if I, if we're just by God's providence in a public area together, not planning it, I probably wouldn't shout out to you, hey, across the room, because of my introvertedness, I'm terrified of not being heard by you, and everybody around me would see that and be like, oh, how sad for that guy. He's not being recognized by that person that he thinks he knows. When we enter into glory, God will look at us and he knows us. There will be no shame. He knows us. Knows our names. And this is from all of eternity. This is from not just a part of us either, as the point before. He knows everything about us. And the comfort that we can take from that, he sent his son to die anyway. He loves us that much, that despite knowing everything about us, he still sent his son to sacrifice him on the cross. Our God is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows everything that has happened. Everything that is happening, everything that will happen. And he doesn't just know all these things, but he knows all the various possibilities that could have been or might be. But he also knows each and every one of us to the fullest extent as we could possibly be known. Far deeper than we even know ourselves. We can delude in ourselves and think ourselves maybe a little bit better than than where we are. But God knows us, warts and all, even the ones we don't see. And yet in His grace and His mercy, He has sent His Son to die on the cross for us and to redeem us, to save us. And this wasn't something where He looked down the corridors of time and said, all right, someday Ryan's going to pick me, so I'll choose him. But rather, I chose him because from before all of eternity, He decreed, Ryan will be mine. And the same is said for you who are in Christ. From all of eternity, He said, such and such will be mine. And so, brothers and sisters, let us take comfort in that. In knowing our God is all-knowing. He knows all that there is to know. He will not be surprised by anything that happens, including any transgression we sin against Him. And so come in confidence and comfort in knowing that the all-knowing God loves His people and rejoices in them. Amen. Our gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, we do praise You for the fact that You are all-knowing. Lord, there is nothing that surprises You, and we do give You praise. Lord, may we find great comfort in this knowledge. When we stumble and when we fall, when we sin against You, may we, Lord, with confidence come before You in knowing that You already know what we've done. We don't have to explain anything to You. We just must come and seek forgiveness. And Lord, if there be any here who feel the weight and burden of their sins upon them, may the fact that You are all-knowing, You know all there is to know, You already know all that they've done, may they, Lord, if they have not confessed their sins to You, may they freely come to You in Christ and confess their sins and be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.